Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Dustin Hawkinsworth and Greg Pickle here, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. It is our training camp look ahead edition. We're going to break down what's happening. Penn State kicks off camp on Friday, August 2nd. So we're going to look at the storylines on the offensive side of the ball. We're going to look at the storylines on the defensive side of the ball, position battles, things to follow along with, freshmen to watch, all that kind of stuff. We'll also continue our preview series looking at safeties and then at cornerbacks too. So looking at two more defensive position groups, just getting ready for the 2019 season. And it is getting closer and closer, Greg. And I think that when you turn the corner to camp, that's when it really starts to hit home. That preparations for at Penn State in the building, they never really stop. But right now, preparations hit a whole nother level starting this week.
Yeah, it's pretty much go time for these guys. You know, media day comes up at the end of the week here. Obviously, they'll be kicking off camp. So I think it's a good time for Penn State to get in the pads again and get on the field. We've done a lot of talking about this team and what it can be and what its potential is and all that. But Dusty knows as well as I do that none of it really matters once they put the pads on, because we will quickly find out exactly what this team has and exactly who this team is by the time the Idaho opener comes around. So, you know, there's questions to answer. Obviously, quarterback's a big one. Safety and defensive tackle are big ones. But also, what does the suspension of, summer-long suspension for Journey Brown and Etor Gross-Matos mean for this Penn State football program? And why does it at all impact them come the start of the season? Time will tell.
Well, let's start on the offense. We'll get into the defense and those suspensions that we heard about. They span both sides of the ball. So, but I think, you know, the first thought that comes to mind on the offense, Greg, is that as a unit, as a whole, is this group going to be able to carry its share of the weight? Is Penn State going to be able to score the number of points that you've come to expect over the past three seasons? Is there going to be some early acclimation? Is there going to be a struggle? There's obviously going to be a new quarterback, Ricky Ronnie in year two, calling the plays. You would hope and expect, you know, for that to evolve and for him to be more comfortable in his job. But, you know, I think the expectation for a lot of people, and I'm still trying to figure out if I subscribe to this or not, because I have actually, I think, high hopes for Penn State's offense this year.
Yeah.
But, you know, is the defense going to do all the work? You know, is the defense going to be the unit that carries them in games, or is the offense going to be going to carry its weight?
Yeah, I think that early on, I would expect the defense to carry the offense in a lot of ways, and then eventually it should even out some. I mean, again, the offense has as much talent as you could possibly want. I mean, there's certainly not a lack of elite players on that side of the ball. They're just inexperienced, and you don't know what they're going to do when it comes showtime. Is Rashid Walker going to have some early hiccups, or is he going to come right out of the gate firing and be the left tackle that Penn State needs him to be? You know, same thing at guard with C.J. Thorpe and Mike Miranda. You know, does Will Fries take the next step forward? Does Steven Gonzalez take the next step forward? Michael Mennett. Who do they go with in the backfield, and how does Jalen Sider and Ricky Ronnie play that role? You know, do they have, you know, a handful of, you know, is it early on they split up the carries and then one guy emerges toward the start of the Big Ten slate? Does one guy just emerge from the get-go? It's hard to say, but it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. But, yeah, we would expect at least in the beginning the defense will carry the offense a little bit.
So here's other than that one big broad question that covers the whole unit, my question is, are we going to actually see a competition between Sean Clifford and Will Levis? I think that it is going to be an actual competition, but it's just one that it would be highly, highly improbable for Will Levis to actually win. You know, he's got to overcome a lot to make it no doubt about it that he's a better bet than Sean Clifford, especially when Clifford has gone through and, you know, as you observed, I think at Lift for Life, seems to have established himself as a leader type. He's one of the guys that, you know, Dwight Gault will point out as physically making a huge leap over the past calendar year. So all that stuff in mind, and the fact that he has, you know, He's been on campus a year longer. He's got a handful of game reps that under his belt. You know, there's just it's not that I don't buy what James Franklin says, but it's just hard to believe that, you know, a guy coming from a clear deficit is going to win this battle.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know,
it's just like Tommy Stevens and Trace McSorley 3 years ago. It's just like that.
Correct. Yeah. And I think that, you know, you get the sense that there's a pretty clear leader, I think, but that doesn't mean that Jobs is going to be handed to a guy. So I think that's something to watch for here over the next couple of weeks during camp, is just what happens, how are the reps split up, and, you know, what sense do we get in the 15 minutes of practice that we'll see that's mostly just, you know, special team stuff and like everything like that. What do we take away from all of that to figure out who's, you know, the man in charge? And I think we both know it's going to be Sean Clifford when all is said and done.
And it's fair. Like, this is a tough position to be in as a coach. And now James Franklin finds himself in this position again, where you have a guy who's pretty young. The program really likes him. The program really believes him. I think that if Penn State were forced to start Will Levis, I think James Franklin would be comfortable with that. And I think that's genuinely true. However, only one guy can start. You know, you went through this little song and dance with Tommy Stevens for years, where every opportunity you could, you just praised the heck out of him. Not because you didn't, you know, it's not like that James Franklin didn't believe it, but it was all very purposeful to try to keep him engaged and try to keep him happy whenever, you know, it looks, frankly, a little bleak. If Sean Clifford wins the job now, that he has 3 years of eligibility left.
Right.
Are you going to be able to keep Will Levis around just like Tommy Stevens? Then you almost get to the finish line with Tommy Stevens.
Right.
And then he knows he's got one more shot at it, and he wants to maximize his chances, which you can't blame him. It's a hard thing.
It is. And I think it's why you're going to see more and more quarterbacks end up in the transfer portal. I mean, and the problem is, where are they going to all go? I mean, at some point, you know, if every school loses one veteran to a place that he thinks he can be the starter, you're going to eventually have more veterans moving on than you have open jobs. So, yeah, it is tough for whoever loses this competition, because either way, whether it's, you know, somehow Will Levis passes Sean Clifford, or if Sean Clifford gets the job as expected, the other guy is going to be behind him and young. And, you know, and so is the guy that wins the job. And the problem is that whoever loses it is going to have to sit around for a long time for their shot. And, you know, who knows when that'll eventually come. So, yeah, it's certainly, you know, nothing to sneeze at, this whole idea of the battle that will go on this summer.
We're thinking about the 2019 season, starting with training camp, which begins this week. If you are thinking about the 2019 season, you got to check out GoPSURV.com, the ultimate tailgating experience. It's a lot just outside Beaver Stadium. They will drive you back and forth to the stadium on game day. You can arrive on Friday. You can leave on Sunday. Basically, what you're going for here is to rent an RV, get an alternative game day experience, not just game day, whole game weekend in Happy Valley. I don't think there's a better way to do it than that. You tailgate for more or less 48 hours. You catch the game. You come right back. You don't have to worry about logistics or any of that kind of stuff. You show up, you know, you bring your buddies, you bring your family, you have a good time for the entirety of the weekend. Check out what they have to offer at GoPSURV.com and tell them we sent you from the Keystone Kickoff Show. Looking at the offense in 2019 and what we're going to see unfold starting in training camp this weekend. You know, I think you mentioned this briefly, but I'm very curious to see what we start to learn about the running back picture. Because as we sit here, I think, you know, you ask 10 different people who they think is going to be the leader in that backfield. You might get 5-5, Ricky Slade. You might get Journey Brown. You ask which freshman is going to make the biggest impact. You're probably going to get more Noah Cain's than Devin Ford's, but Devin Ford has a real shot. He's an impressive kid. He's got the ability, you know, this summer to really deliver a statement and change the coaching staff's thinking. At the end here, you know, it's all a positive, but there's some things to sort out. And I'm curious what the early days and the first like week or two of training camp start to reveal about how they're planning on using these guys, who you would consider the de facto leader in the room, and which of these freshmen is going to play.
Yeah, I mean, I think that quite frankly, you just have to wonder, you know, we thought it was going to be Ricky Slade against Journey Brown for the starting job and the rotation, but now I almost have to assume it's Noah Cain and Ricky Slade, with Journey Brown probably knocked down a few pegs because he hasn't been on campus all summer. So the other thing is Devin Ford, every time you see another picture of him on social media, he looks even bigger than he did the time before. So I have a hard time thinking he's not going to contribute in some way, shape, or form this fall. So they might just play them both, play Ricky Slade and let Journey Brown slot in wherever he slots in. But I do think that you know, the suspension for Brown has changed what this competition is going to look like come the start of camp, and not in a good way for Brown, of course, but for the other two guys, fairly good. So we'll see. Noah Kane is just such a big guy, and I wouldn't be shocked at all to see him and Devin Ford get plenty of reps along with Noah Kane and Ricky Slade this fall.
And this strikes me as one of those positions that, you know, what you see week one is going to evolve over time. You know, I think we tend to think of things as once the season begins, that's final. This is going to be a real, you know, it's a living, breathing organism, really, this running back depth chart. And you're going to see guys probably jockeying for position for the better part of the season. I think the wide receiver depth chart, probably the same deal there. Outside of KJ Hamler and to a lesser extent, Jahan Dotson, not a lot of certainty there, but certainly some upside when you bring Justin Shorter in, when you bring Weston Carr, who's making a jump to the FBS ranks. Now, you know, Daniel George is involved, and you have Cam Sullivan Brown. You're a little young at wide receiver, but there's a lot of possibilities there.
Yeah, there is. I mean, receiver is one of those spots where it won't surprise me if Daniel George takes a big step forward. It won't surprise me if KJ Hamler and Jahan Dotson become more prevalent parts of the game plan. And a lot of the questions you're getting now, Dustin, is what is Justin Shorter's role? Because he's only been on campus a year, but I think some people are starting to freak out a little bit and say, why is this five-star guy? Why are we not hearing more about him? Where's the buzz on him, et cetera, you know, so on and so forth. And I get it in a way, because obviously when a guy like that comes to campus, you expect him to be really good and you expect him to make an immediate contribution, and that really hasn't happened yet. So we'll see how it all plays out. I do think, though, that he's a guy who can, you know, break out this year just as well as anybody else.
You're looking for clues early in training camp. Justin Shorter, that's one of the guys who's going to be high on the list. You're looking for clues to suggest that he can break through. You mentioned the offensive line, the positions there, Rashid Walker, the opportunities at right guard. And let's not forget about Pat Freiermuth. You know, you assume that he's going to be good. How good can you assume he's going to be in year two? You saw a very promising freshman year, but can he be a dominator like that TJ Hockenson type guy who you just can't stop if you're an opposing defense?
I mean, I think that the addition of Nick Bowers being healthy is an underrated part of this Penn State offense going into 2019. And I think between him and Pat Freiermuth, they could very well have the two best tight ends in the Big Ten.
So there you go. Training camp kicks off on Friday. Those are offensive themes and storylines to watch as camp kicks off. We're going to do the same thing after this quick break, only with the defense. Stick around.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.